Hello, hello. Welcome to Squabbles of the Soil, Season 4, a podcast produced in collaboration with MTSU Collegiate FFA Chapter and directed by students of the MTSU Debate and Discussions in Agriculture class. The opinions stated on this podcast are not affiliated with MTSU. The dirt of the day here consists of controversial agricultural topics. Let's come down to earth.
Hello, everyone. My name is Elizabeth Bean, and the controversial agricultural issue that we will be discussing is government monetary support on sustainable agricultural practices. We'll be hearing from one person on the pro side of this monetary support and be hearing from one person on the opposing side of this support.
Introduce yourself.
Okay, good deal. All right, so my name's Matthew McClellan, assistant professor here at Walter State Community College in agriculture.
So it's nice to have you on here. So we'll just start off with our first question. Have you personally been connected to monetary or government monetary support on sustainable agricultural practices?
So my experience, not on my own property, is with my extension program experience. I've been a county agent in a few different states, and part of that experience was to introduce folks to best management practices and cost share programs that existed out there to help implement those programs onto their own farms. So a big part of my extension programming was to get that information out there and get folks signed up for those programs.
Yeah. So why do you support this government monetary support on these sustainable agricultural practices?
Well, the first thing is it incentivizes best management practices. If there's an incentive for folks to try something new that maybe they don't know the science behind it or are unfamiliar with how the program works, to get those best management practices off of the research farms, research stations, and onto actual production farms, that incentivizing, that monetary
incentivization.
That money coming out to them or that cost share programming really helps push those programs out and really does aid in the implementation of those programs in a much quicker method.
Yes, definitely. Because like I was saying earlier, like a lot of these farmers don't have the money themselves to implement these practices, so being able to do that.
And you know, it's been my experience too that most, even if they don't know the science behind it, you know, that's one thing. But even if they do know the science behind these conservation programs, not having the funding available to them is keeps a lot of people on the sidelines for those particular programs. So putting some money behind that for those folks really does help.
It does. So what are some organizations that provide this monetary support? Like you said that you have a background in extension that you did it with. Like what was your extension agency? What's some other programs that like do this?
NRCS and FSA are probably the two biggest. I worked pretty closely with both of those governmental organizations to help folks be aware of those programs through those agencies. And then there's a lot of stuff through NRCS and FSA. I mean, just a lot of stuff. Those are probably the two biggest ones that I've worked with.
Yeah. Do you know some like the practices, like what are some of the like most used practices?
In my experience, the most common ones that I saw out in Montana where I was county agent would be CRP, Conservation Reserve Program, stream fencing, irrigation cost shares, any of the HEL programs, highly erodible land, you know, where you build berms and protect the soil and try to keep that, especially in less gaps, to keep those soils in place. Those would be in alternative watering systems for livestock. Those would be the ones that I've been the most familiar with that I've seen the most.
What are some of the least ones that you've seen used?
Kind of biased in this, but I would say all of them are not utilized to their full potential.
Yeah.
I know that there were several years that you know, each of the agencies, NRCS and FSA, they have a pot of money for each of these programs, and there were several years where they had to give money back because they didn't have enough implementation within the program. So I would say all of them are underutilized.
Yeah. Have you like ever put any of these practices on your own operation, or have you recommended any of these practices for some of your clients that you have when you're in extension?
Certainly, I recommended all of them when I was in extension. at one point or another. We don't have anything on our place. We don't have any livestock on our place. We just grow some hay. But my aunt and uncle actually have. They've put in, so they got some cost share to put in alternative water systems for their sheep and cattle production. So yeah, I've seen the firsthand what those what the monetary benefits are for those things.
Yeah. And how do you think this controversy will affect the future on this monetary support and on these and these sustainable practices?
I think it's going to change. I think we're going to move. I think there's going to be more, the controversy is going to be more along the price subsidies and price supports for commodity crops. I think we're going to see more controversy boiling out of that those particular programs than we are out of the sustainability programs. And maybe there's a need to move more money out of the commodity support programs and into those sustainability programs. I can't imagine that given all the data and the science behind the programs, that there would be much resistance to these programs, or at least in my mind, I can't understand that side of the argument, that there would be a pushback to put on ground these sustainability practices that protect our soil and water resources and make farmers more efficient and grow more calories for a growing population. I think that's a big role of government, actually. So I'm pretty biased in that.
Yeah. Well, that's actually all my questions for you. I really appreciate you doing this interview with me.
Oh, no worries.
Hello again. You just heard about the pros and supporting side of this monetary support from the government on sustainable agricultural practices from Matthew McClellan. I was sadly not able to procure an interview with an expert on the opposition for this monetary support on these practices. Though, that does not mean there is not an opposition. As with everything, there are differing opinions. I am not an expert, but I am going to provide you with some of the opposing viewpoints so you understand both sides of this controversy. Let's dig into some of these opposing viewpoints. Some people, mainly taxpayers, are opposed to the support due to the increasing number of funds being taken out, which are not always implemented for these sustainable practices by producers. There are also others who would rather focus on self-reliance than have a dependence on the government for these practices. There are also producers opposed to support due to personal attitudes about the government or simply just not wanting the monetary support but wish for the services provided by these government organizations, such as conservation plans from the NRCS. There are some in the government who are opposed to the usage of these funds and believe they should go to programs more deserving. There is also the media, which is concerned due to the limited portrayal of opposition and the usage of these taxpayer money. These are just a few of the opposing viewpoints, but they provide you with a better understanding of the opposition of this controversy. We are not trying to push you to a certain side on this controversy, but we wish to inform you of both sides so that you may make your own judgment of which side you coincide with. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for joining us on another insightful episode of Squabbles of the Soil. We hope you've enjoyed digging deep into the pressing issues facing our agricultural world. Keep listening and find out who you are rooting for.